All right, so with that, I would like to call on Michael Watford to tell you what Jesus is doing in his life right now. All right, come up, Michael. All right, so Michael has just gone to phase 4 on the program. He's preaching almost a year on the program. So he's now a senior man on the program. And for the next 5 minutes, he will tell you what Jesus is doing in his life.
Good morning, church. So my name is Michael. I've just been preaching challenge for a year now. As Steve said before, there's power in life and death in the tongue, you know. And there's an old saying that people say that sticks and stones may not break your bones, but words will never hurt you, you know. But that's a lie from the enemy, you know, because what I realised was when we moved to England years ago, in the 80s, I was actually subject to quite a lot of racial abuse from at that time, you know, from both sides of communities, really, you know, from the blacks, right, from the white people called me mongrel, you know, half-breed, and all sorts of things. And these things, they really stuck with me. You know, and as a child growing up, I sort of brought up in distrusting people. You know, I couldn't identify with nobody. I didn't know what culture I was from, who was I. You know, I knew my name was Michael Radford. I knew my age, I knew where I lived. But as far as that, I didn't know about my heritage. I didn't know, like, I didn't speak my mum's language. I didn't know who I was or where. But like, what's my purpose in life? You know, so from a very young age, I was very curious about things. I was a curious person. I was very curious about, there must be more to life than this, you know, other than what we see. As we know now, there's more to life than what we don't see and what there is that we do see, praise the Lord. Amen. You know, so growing up, you know, it was quite tough growing up. I couldn't identify with anybody, like I said, and I found my security in numbers. I found my security in big groups of people. I found love that came from my brother's friend. My brother was a bit of a villain, and they gave me love. They would ask me to do things for them, which I thought they were loving me by getting to run large sums of money around, which is complete opposite. You know, that was being used by them as well, you know, but I found security there. I found my identity with them as well. I get called all sorts of names. I was born with a condition called Herb's palsy. I get called things like one-armed bandit and stuff like that when I was growing up. And so as I was getting older, when I was smaller, so as I was getting older, I had to defend myself, so I learned martial arts, I learned kickboxing, and these insecurities, I became very defiant. Yeah, people would say to me, my dad said to me, Mark, you've got to be a lawyer, I want to be a boxer, I want to be a fireman. Yeah, so I became very defiant, I want to do things my way, you know, not what people who cared and loved what they wanted me to do and what they're advising me for. And this defiance become rebellion, you know, and the Bible says things of rebellion is of witchcraft. You know, and then this is where things really started going wrong for me. You know, every week I give a testimony, but I look back on it, and I think I'm actually learning more and more and more about myself every testimony I give. I say different things. The content's the same, but I say different things because I'm learning more and more about myself because God is revealing me. I get more and more revelation every time, you know. So it's a real privilege to be able to do this because I'm learning more about myself as well, you know. So praise the Lord. Teenage years, my parents grew up when I was 11, which was pretty messy. When I was younger, I paralysed a lad when I was 18 because of the racial abuse that I was getting. I didn't mean to do it, but it's just an accident that happened. And that subsequently left me with a lot of guilt, condemnation from the enemy. You know, I thought I was no good. You know, I got called a lot of things around the area where I lived. A lot of things. It's a little thing about being called names, and these things really stuck with me, and I started believing I was these things. I wasn't any good. I was this. I was a thug, you know. And then this is where the drug use started coming in, you know, from 13. Cigarettes, smoking weed, selling weed, and like I said, my brother's friends were villains. These things came to me, you know, large amounts, and I could get what I wanted for free pretty much, and I started selling it and making money from it, and with that came a name, came an image, an identity, which was completely warped and twisted, you know, because it's nothing. I mean, my identity now is in Christ, you know what I mean? Other than that, there is no identity. Everything else is going right from hell, you know. So, but it was just a disaster growing up completely. When I got to the age of 23, that's when I discovered crack cocaine. This took everything to a new low. My dad had died. I had no support from anybody. Just this wrong thinking that I thought was getting me the right places, but it was actually getting me the wrong places. You know, like a satellite dish. Yeah. When if you change it 1 centimeter here, by the time it gets out of space, it's moved about 2 miles. And that's what my life was like. I started off on the wrong trajectory. Yeah. And imminently, yeah, I was on the wrong path. So I'm 23, crack cocaine came into my life, and all the things that come with that, consuming it, selling it, making money, losing money, and again, I thought I was doing the right thing, but I was doing the complete wrong thing. 17 years later, I was still at it. I came to know the Lord when I was 39, and my now wife, she's the one who told me about the Lord, and she told me how he changed her life, set her free from bondage of alcohol and drugs, and I said, I want some of that. You know, but at the time I was a bit naive. I wanted to jump into it and I wanted to do it on my terms. And it doesn't say that. But Jesus said, I was a bit just then, it's in John 15:14. It says, if you obey my commandments, you'll be my friend. You know, and it also says a double-minded man is unstable. So I come into the kingdom of God trying to be Michael the Jack the Lad and also trying to serve God at the same time. But when you're serving and witnessing people on the streets but smoking crack in the evenings, it's a bad recipe. Yeah, it's a bad recipe. And then that's where God intervened and said, you will not mock me. You know, and the God brought me down quite quickly. You know, brought me back to earth, back to reality. You know, and this is when Team Challenge got involved. My church, they couldn't handle me. My wife had enough of me. I brought complete disaster to our marriage. After our honeymoon, I disappeared for 3 weeks. Just vanished. She didn't know where I was. And this is something that I would do a lot, was just vanish from people, because I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle pressure. I constantly ran away from things. But when I come to the kingdom, God challenged me. And the Bible says that if you've got a sinning brother, you confront him first of all, one of you. Yeah, if he listens, you gain a brother. If you haven't, yeah, take him to two brothers, okay? And if he still refuses, treat him as a tax collector, isn't it? Leave him outside the door. So I was one step from that, really, when Team Challenge came and did a presentation like this. And that's when I came to Team Challenge. You know, so now I've been there for a year. Everything's been restored, bit by bit. You know, all relationships been restored. My family no longer dislike me. I'm no longer bringing shame to them. You know, now they're now pleased, and they can see what the Lord's doing in my life. You know, every word could be used, every excuse I use. So now I'm able to speak through my actions, is what they needed now. You know, so my family now have peace, my wife has peace, my mum has peace, you know. I have peace, you know, and it came from having a relationship with the Lord. You know, it's no good doing things on my own, you know. I was fighting a losing battle, you know, but as Jesus says, you know, he has to do it on his terms. You know, deliverance comes from obedience, you know, and obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what I've learned, you know, so I'm just very thankful for Team Challenge, what they've done in my life. You know, it's a privilege to testify in front of you as well. And I'll give all the glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Come on, give them glory. Thank you, Jesus.
If you listen to Michael, you heard tricky things there. You heard rejection, you know, wrong thinking, trying to do it his way. In the kingdom of God, you cannot do it your way. You tell you what, one of my favorite songs in the past, from Sinatra, I did it my way. You can't do that in the kingdom of God. It's either God's way or nothing. Okay? Okay, so I'm going to take a second testimony. Randia, will come and tell me what Jesus is doing. I don't have anything on the program.
I'm going to stand here.
Yeah,
feel free. Feel free. Morning again, church. I'm Randia. I'm 38 years old. I've been born in a Hindu family. I was born in Mauritius. I've come in England in 2004. To pursue my studies and go to university and learn management, because in Mauritius, it's a small island, there's only one university. But before I come to England, I escaped my life in Mauritius because I was raised in a dysfunctional family. My dad was an alcoholic, and every day in the house there was fighting, there was shouting, there was swearing, there was cursing. My mom and dad never had the best relationship. They never respected each other. And out of the youngest child, my older brother and my sister, and my little sister and me, I was the youngest. I felt rejected as the youngest because I looked like my dad, and my brother looks like my mom, and my older sister looks like my mom. So there was kind of a division in the family. And from that young age, being brought up in a way that I always felt rejected, and that had a big implication on my life of who I've become. Because I believe if your parents, I don't blame it on them, but my parents were uneducated, and they didn't have the chance of knowing the Lord and go to church and have a guidance. So I won't blame it on them. But I'm thankful I've met God at the right time. At the right time. And I corrected a trend that was going in my father's life, especially because from my father's side, all his brothers and sisters, they all died young of alcoholism and drugs. And his sisters were, all his brothers and sisters basically died, except my dad. And I'm thankful to the Lord. When I met my girlfriend, who's now my wife, 20 years ago, she was a Christian, she was a strong Christian. And she saw how much I struggled in my religion, and she showed me there is a way. And I started going to church. But at the beginning, I was going to church for the wrong reason, because I loved her and I wanted her. And her parents were very strong Christians. and they did not like a strong believer. So I went to church for the wrong reasons, and I was serving two masters at the same time, if that makes sense. I was going to church and I was Christian on the Sundays and the weekdays when there were prayer services. And all the other days I was doing my own thing, and I was smoking, drinking, going clubbing with friends, which wasn't right. And that led me to nowhere. There was no change in my life, and I was living sinfully in a sense. But when I come to England in 2004, I was so glad I'd left this family hostile environment that was in my house every day. And to come to London and having a bit of freedom, started working and have a bit of freedom, I unfortunately met with wrong friends that just like going clubbing and taking drugs and smoking, and that's how I started smoking weed in 2004. And I thought it was just for a season, it's just be a fun, and then these things will pass. But it's not like this. It starts simply with small things, and then it gradually escalates. But luckily, I've never touched anything else but weed, because I know myself, if I start liking something, I'll go deep down in it. So I thank the Lord, He kept me away from all these things, but still the weed got hold of me for nearly 15 years. And after even I got married in 2007, I thought I might get serious a bit after I get married, and I would put these things behind me and I have a bright future. But no, it kept hold of me, and I was smoking. I was living the double life with my wife. I started with the smoking weed. I felt my mind was clouded, and I couldn't see clearly what I'm doing. And I started doing a lot of things. I would gamble with money. I'd gamble in one go, £2,000, just transfer it like this onto a Ladbrokes account. And I'm just in my comfort on my sofa, I'm just gambling, playing football while I'm watching the game, just because I need some entertainment. Just watching a football match is not good enough for me. I need to gamble. And the amount of money that I've gambled is ridiculous, to be honest. And in the space of 3-4 years, I think about it the other day, I must have smoked about £30,000 worth of weed itself. And that's crazy. That's the only deposit money you can buy a house. And then I'm thinking to myself, I'm not progressing in my life. What's happening to me? Why am I not being blessed and this and that? But I was living wrong. My guidance was wrong, and my whole conception of life was wrong. That's when it got to a point where I've had enough. I felt rejected with my family. My wife had enough of me, basically, because I was living a double life and I cheated on her many times. And I used to have a wife, I used to have a girlfriend, I used to have a lady friend. I didn't have any sense of direction in my life. But thank the Lord, like I'm standing here talking to you, there was the Redeem guys that come to the church where my missus was. I was at home because I had gone off my head. I was too stoned to come to church. And she was there, she saw the guys giving testimonies, like, she phoned me up, she said, you need to come to church because this is exactly what you need. This team challenge, what they're saying, is teaching you how to have a relationship with God. Because I did know God before, but I didn't have a relationship with Him. I just knew God coming to church and listening to people talk in church. And going back home, I was doing my own thing. So last year in October, I came in to team challenge. And because I was a heavy smoker, I tried one rehab before in Manchester, and they didn't allow me to even smoke cigarettes, and I lasted 2 days there, and I had to leave because the cravings of cigarettes was too strong for me to. I said, I wanted to just get off weed. Whatever comes afterwards is just a bonus. So I went to team challenge with patches, Nicorette gums, and all this stuff. And praise God, they're all still in my locker, and I've never touched them. I've never had to use them. For 7-8 months, I've not had a cigarette, I've not had a smoke, and I've not had any drinks. And this is all the past. I thought just coming to team challenge, this was just it. But there's a bigger picture to it. This is just the tip of the iceberg. The things that I was seeing was just the tip of the iceberg. Beneath the iceberg, there was a lot of stronghold, a lot of resentment, a lot of things I had to let go of. And I'm halfway through the program. I'm still not cooked. But like the other guys that's given testimony, they have finished the program. And I've still got a lot to work on. But I praise God for who I am. And I have the joy and peace. And I don't need any substance whatsoever. And I'm really grateful.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Lord. What is that word? God has a turn in the focus for him and everybody else in this room here this morning. Okay, I'm going to take a third testimony. It will be Jayan who's going to tell you what Jesus is doing in his life. I want you to encourage him. this morning because he's the newest member of the team. And Jian came from a Muslim sort of background, so he'll tell you how he encountered Jesus. But there is something which is always funny about him. When I'm in the office, you know, and I hear a knock, because you can't come in unless I say come in. And I'll say, identify yourself. And then he always comes in and, and in the background he says, I come in the name of Jesus.
I've been on crack and heroin for over 20 years and in and out of prison most of my life, and stealing and lying and cheating to my family and everything. I've done my last sentence was 3 years ago, and it was for 15 months I've been in prison, and I was praying with the Muslims in the prison, and I didn't find the Lord when I was praying in there, and then we'd go back to the wings and then we'd start fighting, and I was found anger all the time. And then I came out of prison, they didn't give me anywhere to live. And then after, I went to the mosque outside to ask the imam for some help, for food and that. So I was homeless again. And he just got up and started shouting, I haven't got time for you. He goes, come back later. He goes, I can't help you. But I said to him, but I'm a Muslim, I've come from prison, I've got nothing. And I got fed up, I came out of the mosque and I started crying. I was like fed up with the Muslim relation, with the religion. I started walking down the road and then I see a church door open. There was two ladies singing out of the church. I heard these beautiful voices coming from there. I was going to walk straight past the church, but there was a lorry came past and the gust of wind from the lorry pushed me into the doorway. And I found out it was the Lord that did this to me. And they said, who are you? And I said, I'm a homeless guy. I've had nothing to eat since yesterday. I've got nowhere to live. They said that we can help you with food, but we can't help you with accommodation. And they said, we'll pray for you to find somewhere to live, but come to church on Sundays, and then we can give you food and you can get to know the church more. So I've done that, they prayed on me, but as soon as I came out of the church, I had a sweat of a bucket of water come from me, and I felt all the dirt of the homelessness come off of my body. But I still had all dirty clothes on me, felt all sticky. But I went down the homeless place, the housing, the next morning, and I said to them, I'm not leaving here till you give me somewhere to live. I've done 15 months in prison and I've got nowhere to go, and I'm just going to go out and start stealing again and go back on drugs. I've just cleaned myself up. So they gave me emergency accommodation in St. Mungo's. So I started going to church on Sundays. I was doing the coffee mornings with them as well. I had clean clothes, I had a place to stay, I found a job, I found a flat, I had a girlfriend. I started doing church with taking my girlfriend to church as well. Then I stopped going to church, I started drinking, started neglecting the church, and then I went back on the streets, back on crack and heroin, and I was nearly going to die. Two more days, and then my pastors and everyone that knows, and they was talking about Paul Inigans, who knows me as well, he got me to get into Team Challenge. I came to Team Challenge, I was 8 stone, nearly 9 stone, and through Team Challenge I couldn't read and write when I first got there. I passed over 7 exams with the Bible studies.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful that they saved my life, and you know, Jesus has saved my life as well. And I do want to say to people out there that if you want to change your life and get off drugs and have a new life, the only way is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We're all for Jesus, because he could be done this morning. Without Jesus, we are nothing this morning. So, all right, we are then. We have a last testimony from Michael Ovenden. Nothing about nothing about nothing in the program. In fact, he's in charge of the reuse set of side of the program and stuff. So he'll tell you what Jesus is doing in his life.
Hello again, church. I was lost from a very early age. At the age of 6, my parents got a divorce. It wasn't a very pretty divorce. There was a lot of arguing on both sides. These arguments only got worse when my dad met his new partner. The arguments got more violent. You know, the fellow that I was looking to as my leader was elsewhere. Yeah, I felt a sense of being lost. I felt rejected. I felt desperate and in despair. And at such a young age, I didn't know how to handle these feelings. So at the age of 10, that was the first time that I tried to commit suicide. That was my first day in hospital after that. At the age of 13 is when I got into smoking weed. Now, at first I enjoyed it, but that enjoyment, it quickly left. And the real reason I was taking it was to cover up what's going on inside. You know, cover up this fear and the feelings that were going on. This just quickly progressed into cocaine, ecstasy. I got into speed in a big way, I began to sell it, and I've sniffed so much I've burnt my sense of smell away. I can no longer smell. And as I was saying, the drugs were just a cover. And when the drugs weren't there, I'd always self-harm. I'd do this in various ways. I used to cut myself, I used to burn myself, I used to try and overdose. So at the age of 16 now, my mum couldn't handle my behaviour no more, I was out of control, you know, and she's asked me to leave. Now me thinking I'm my best at that age, I've left. So I'm now sleeping in bin sheds, I'm now sleeping in shop fronts, doing what I can to earn money. You know, being involved with people that I had no business getting involved with at that age. You know, I was doing shoplifting, but burglary was really my main thing, you know. I weren't particularly good at it, I just did it a lot. You know, I was doing houses during the day, businesses and commercial premises at night. So as you can imagine, I was quite busy. This is around this time that I got into Valium. I was taking at least 30 blue 10 mil Valium a day. More if I could get hold of them. And around this time I also began smoking heroin. Now when I'm taking the heroin, the drugs outside come up to me and put a warm blanket around me. Yeah, when I was in that place, I was in a sense of security, comfort and protection. Nothing could get to me in that place. But it's such a life from the enemy, because the only comfort and protection you'll get is in Christ Jesus. Now I quickly began injecting the heroin, and then I started mixing it with crack. It's called speedballing, so I was mixing heroin and crack in the same needle. And this just took my mental state to new depths of despair. Through the years I've been diagnosed with drug abuse, schizophrenia, psychosis, paranoia, anxiety and depression. I've been sectioned, and the amount of times I've tried to commit suicide. You know, but at the beginning of last year, I ran out of games to play, you know. I was at the end really. And I bumped into a friend's mum, goes by the name of Angie Goldsworth. She's a born again Christian lady. Now, I can't even remember talking to her. But through this I've got the number for Team Challenge. If I hadn't have bumped into her and this meeting taking place, I'd have been dead. I had 2-3 months already. I've been there. You know, when I came to Team Challenge, I didn't know God. I didn't want to know God. You know, I was here for 6 months to get myself sorted when I was going back to work or whatever. But that ain't the plan that the Lord had for me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You know, I really struggled at first. You know, I kept on about this Jesus geezer. You know, it was just some fella. So I was asking to him, it was just some fella who lived 2,000 years ago. What can he do for me? Turns out quite a bit.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, but I struggled. You know, I was running out of classes. I was running out of chapel. I just didn't want to hear it. Didn't want to hear about this Jesus fella. But it came to one day. I was standing in the chapel. Something came to me and I wrote it down. We all face trials and tribulations every day, but it's how we deal with this that makes us stronger. And I put that in the room on my notice board. 2 weeks after this, however, I had had enough. You know, I'd all my bags packed and I was going to leave. And I've rang my dad. I said, look man, I can't handle the kid on about this Jesus. It's just doing me in. I've had enough. I'm going to leave and come back to work. He said, well, that ain't going to happen. You know, Mike, there's nothing out there for you. You just got to embrace it. So with that, I've gone back to my room, sat there for a time, and I picked up my Bible. First book I read was the Book of James. Now, I looked at Christians like they were mental. Right? And the first line of that is, consider it pure joy when you face trials of any type. I mean, I thought, me needing Team Challenge, this geezer needs it. Yeah, but it made me smile, so I carried on reading. And down in verse 12, it says, blessed are those who persevere under trial, because having withstood the test, that person will receive the crown of life for those who love him.
Amen.
Alright, I didn't love him at that point, but I was certainly going through some trials, and that just spoke, because that was what the Lord gave me 2 weeks previous. And this is when I started looking around at things a bit differently. I was looking at my brothers that are in there and thinking they were just as broken and just as much as a mess that I was in when I first come here. You know, they look happy, they look content. You know, there might be something to this Jesus geezer after all. You know, and this is when I felt the love of Jesus. I felt this peace and this joy that I've never experienced before. You know, said the year that I've been in Team Challenge, I've been healed of hepatitis C. My family relationships have been restored.
Thank you, Lord.
He's freed me of my addictions, and he's freed me of all my mental health issues. You know, and beginning of April, unfortunately, my dad passed away. But instead of me running to get fixed to a drug dealer or to the office to get a beer, I ran to the Lord, and he gave me strength to get through.
Amen.
You know, and through that meeting with my friend's mum, one of her friends came to the Redeemed. So it's through the Redeemed that I got into Team Challenge, and you've heard me, other brothers. So it might not be for you today, but there is someone out there who needs to know about Jesus and about Team Challenge. So I just praise God for what he's done
in your life. Amen. Give God the praise and the glory. This is real. What is happening here? It's only Jesus that could change lives. You know, that's what God is in the business of doing, restoring lives.